time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, you are now in tune to In the Conversation, the podcast. My partner Damian Lemon is not in this week, so we have a special guest host again coming back for his second time on a rerun. My homie, partner, neighbor, friend, and tailor extraordinaire, entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur with all kind of products, my man, Terry Corbett, in the building. Last time he was here, he talked a lot of trash and damn near insulted me on my own podcast, so I don't even know how I invited him back. Nigga told me I wouldn't even be welcome in the Martha's Vineyard. But here we are, doing the damn thing. What's up, Terry?
I am doing awesome. And beloveds out there, do not believe a word he said. You see how he tried to set me up? So now everything that has a that comes out of my mouth has to be extraordinary, and I'm far from that. So thank you for having me.
No doubt. I appreciate you coming through. You know what I'm saying? In the clutch. You're down here in Atlanta. Tell the people what you got going on out here and, you know, what you've been up to, man. You've been dropping some amazing things, and I'm going to get into what you've done for me. But just set it up for me so, you know, I could alley-oop it.
Well, I've been doing tailoring for about custom tailoring, custom clothing for about 30 to 35 years. And I was finally forced to really take it serious. My wife said to me about a year ago, she says, I am going to leave you if you don't use this God-given gift that he's given you. And so that's when I knew I had to be serious.
Well,
so.
Damn. Leave you? Like, nigga, I'm going to leave you if you don't use your gifts?
No, but what she was saying was that she would be extraordinarily disappointed with me. And she believed that I have a gift and that I wasn't utilizing it, that I was, you know, throwing it away, which we see a lot of times in life from different people that we may encounter. So,
yeah, before you move on, man, you know what I'm saying? That's a very important statement you just said, right? You know what I'm saying? You said that she would be very disappointed in you if you didn't use your gifts. Now, disappointment is a big thing in relationships. You know what I'm saying? Disappointments could be what I like to call a free radical, you know, because, you know, like you said leave, but disappointment usually leads up to that if you don't handle it right, if you don't treat it right. And what a free radical is something that's just there all the time and you don't know when it's going to flare up. And then it flares up and then, you know, you have this illness. But and then it may go back down, but it's still there. So you have to address those types of things like disappointments because they can come back to kick you in your ass. So in this particular case, which is not often that you hear a story like that where the disappointment comes in blatantly identifying it by you not taking advantage of your God-given gifts. Usually it's associated with expectations and things that they may want. But in this particular case, it's things they may want to see you do with your own talents. And a lot of times we can't see that.
Right. Right. You know, I've been with my wife for 32 years now. So, you know, she's seen, you know, when she met me in 1990, she saw the whole progression from me picking up a needle and thread and ended up making suits for some of the most famous artists that pretty much birthed Atlanta. You know, Outkast, Goody Mob, TLC, Usher, you name it. And so she saw that progression, and she saw me basically just walk away from it when I left Atlanta. And I did everything in my, you know, it seems like I did everything in my power to not, I guess you could say, I hate to use the word exploit, Is there another word I can use other than exploit? You know another word?
Exploit is good.
Right, right. Exploit my talents. And, you know, one of the things about, you know, in my career, like, I've been able to do pretty much everything in fashion. I've done sneakers, I've done furs, I've done leathers, I've done jeans, I've done t-shirts, I've done tailored clothing, I've done ties, I've done, what else is there?
My nigga, you did the 1990s tie-up, string-up hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That everybody was rocking from Naughty by Nature all the way.
But that's how I'm at Rico from Organized. My first business, I opened up at a swap meet across the street from Greenbrier Mall. And Rico Wade, I think it was him and, it may have been Sleepy Brown. I can't remember. It was either him or either Ray Murray, one of his partners. And Rico saw that I was making sock hats. And at that particular point in time, I think I was probably one of the only few gentlemen in the whole Atlanta making the sock hats that tie up with the matching hoodies. Most guys, if you remember back in like the early 90s, that was pretty much in every rap video. Well, I was probably one of the only guys in Atlanta at that time sewing them by hand at my business. And so that's how I met Rico. And from there, it kind of mushroomed. He introduced me to the whole Organized family. I was able to sit in on pretty much all the albums until I left. And then I ended up styling L.A. Reid and working with the whole LaFace Records. And then I matriculated to doing clothing for NFL teams, whether it's the Falcons, the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers, the New York Jets. So I've done a lot. And so I guess it was my wife's frustration or ultimatum to say, you're so gifted at this, why won't you do this?
And that's special, man, because a lot of people, wives tell them the opposite. Like, all right, damn, fuck it. You need to go get yourself a job, nigga.
Well, I've always had a job, right?
I'm talking about like, go get you a day clock, punch the clock.
Well, I was always able to, outside of punching the clock, I was always able to provide a good life for us. So, which makes it even more endearing from where she was coming from. It was, I think there's something special beyond you being my husband of what you do. And I'm going to put that batter in your back to go forth.
You should appreciate that.
I do.
No doubt.
Greatly.
All right. So now everybody know who you are.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We here. This is a conversation.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Two black men talking, shooting the shit. That's what people come here to hear.
That's what we do.
Talk about, you know, what's happening in the world, what's happening in our world, and, you know, all that. So what I would like to talk about right now is that, you know, during the pandemic, everything shut down. Niggas is sitting in the house. We in Brooklyn. And I knew what you were doing. You know what I'm saying? You told me that you wanted to cut me up some suits or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself how I'm going to change my life. You know, people on this pod know that I'm always reevaluating where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And taking inventory of where I need to go. And so during the pandemic, what sparked my imagination was that, you know, I had been rocking the woofy afro and beard since about 2012 or some shit. Pandemic came and everybody had a woofy afro and
absolutely
beard, cause you know the barbershops wasn't open.
right.
Niggas let their hair grow, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And some people really took to it and was like, oh, I fucks with this. So I looked at that and I was like, you know what? When I come out of this shit, I'm gonna come out clean. You know what I'm saying? Get my shit cut. You know, I'm gonna come out with, you know what I'm saying, some suits, some look, you know, I'm gonna come back with a different look. The whole different me. And I'm gonna go in the opposite direction where most people that was probably dressed up and wearing suits is now kind of casual, would let their beard out. You know what I'm saying? Corporate America is kind of accepting of the black man in his natural state because of the George Floyd and the protest and, you know, corporations trying to be on the right side of black. And
hold on there, Mr. Ali. Hold on now. I think you're going a bit too far.
No. Hey man, you know what it is. Don't act like
everything at the Cheesecake Factory now.
You know what I'm saying? So when I decided that, of course I came to see you. We in the backyard, open air. You out there making new drinks for your liquor line that you came up with, right, in the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
And so we drinking, and you bringing, you busting out the goddamn what they call the fabrics, when you, the book of fabrics.
Fabric. It's just a
samples.
Fabric swatches. Fabric swatches. Yeah.
You bust out the fabric swatches and asked me what I wanted. You know, I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? I, left to my own devices, I wouldn't know how to put fabrics together, colors, whatever. So I was like, man, fuck that. You do what you do. I, shit.
Right.
Set me up with a starter pack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you set me up with a starter pack. And, you know, they came in. They were on ice because everything was still kind of shut down, slowly reopening and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was down here in the A. And so I called my homeboy John Walder, photographer extraordinaire. He's like, yo, I need to do this shoot. And he was like, all right, whenever you want to do it.
Right.
I'm like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you a date. And then he just called me one day. He was like, can you shoot today? I'm like, oh, shit. I ain't had no haircut. You know what I'm saying? My car wasn't wild. You know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to put my car in it. Because you know what I had done brought the Benz Merlot.
Right.
And so I was like, fuck it. But what I realized about suits, a suit is similar to a sweatsuit. Because if you got them and they, you got them pressed and they hung up and they ready to go, you can throw that bitch on it. And do it. It's almost easier to put it together than it is, you know.
It is. A lot of people are very intimidated by a suit. And once you get the right suit, you'll find out that it's actually easier to dress in a suit than it is in a sweatsuit. And I know that might, I know that might seem very, very difficult, or might seem an unreasonable statement, but hear me out. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that it's similar to a sweatsuit, because last time I was, I know I had the velour sweatsuit era, but in high school I was really about the sweatsuits, Fila sweatsuits, had them, and the thing about it was you could pull that joint out, you know what I'm saying, match it with your sneakers. All you gotta do is put a little t-shirt up on it, and now you out here fresh,
right?
Because that's what it is. Oh, you're in the Fila sweatsuit. I liken the dress suit to the sweatsuit because it's just as easy. Because you get your white shirt or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like in your standard form, you get your white shirt that you made up for me, match it with your pants, and you throw your jacket on, put your Scooby Doo's on, and you out the door, you know? And you're going to look, you look official. If you want to dress it up, you go put your tie on. If you want to dress it down, you might change your shirt. But the foundation is there. And no matter what you do, when you step out in it, the world receives you differently, at least for me.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so he called me that Sunday to come do this photo shoot. And I said, fuck it. You know, boom. Grab the suit, threw it on. Hit the dough, you know? And really the shoot was maybe 35 minutes because the sun was about to go down. We fighting the sunset. So, boom, jumped out. Bang, bang, bang. Little shot here, little shot there. Boom, it was done. Sent it to me. The shit came out dope. And I posted for the first time. You know what I'm saying? I know I had it on ice for a couple weeks. And then I posted it when I felt like it was the right day. And my whole life changed. You know what I'm saying? Not in the way of like, oh, shit, you fly. It's just business people, people I might have been trying to bust through the wall with and get to the other side with. They took me seriously, or they looked at me differently. You know what I'm saying? They considered me for opportunities that weren't, I wasn't considered for before. I ended up at different kinds of tables than I was the day before.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, immediately put the shit up. immediately.
But do you remember what I first asked you?
What?
When you talked when you said you wanted me to measure you up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
You remember when I said that, are you ready for this? That people are going to look at you different and treat you differently? That when you walk into a restaurant it's going to be sir, and that they are in the back of their mind they're like, did I forget a reservation? Because the gentleman that's in here, he looks like he's very important.
Mm.
And so that changes. It changes when you wear a suit and you're in the airport. It changes when you go to a business meeting. It changes when you're booking a hotel or when you're renting a car.
Mm-hmm.
It completely changes everything.
Yeah.
Right?
That.
And I'm not talking about on some, you know, let me just speak a little hood for a minute. Right? I'm not talking about no bougie shit. I'm saying when it's done right, you know when it's done right. And when a gentleman or a lady walks in the room, you know that they're cut from a different cloth. And so there you check yourself. I wouldn't say check yourself, but I would say that you take a look at that moment and you say, or that individual, and you say, wow, like, I don't see that often, not done that well.
Right.
So.
Especially not from a black dude with a beard. And a nappy head. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, it changed my life for real. Off of that one picture. You know what I'm saying? Now you got to do the work. Now you got to follow through. Now you got to do all the shit. But the phone was ringing differently. You know what I'm saying? And in that phone is ringing differently. And people's like, yo, I need them to be a part of blah, 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 bing, bing. And you're like, damn, what the fuck is, you got to go call your lawyer to get some, you know what I'm saying, some clarification on what even the fuck is going on. So you end up in different spaces and you end up with different consideration. Yeah, the restaurant stuff, all that stuff, that shit happens mm-hmm. too. You know what I'm saying? You pull up, you know what I'm saying? I pull up in Merlot and Merlot clean. And they, you in the suit, they like, what, you know what I'm saying? That velvet rope is just,
agreed.
That shit ain't even there no more.
No, it's not there anymore.
You know what I'm saying? They not even like, oh, nah, he, who that? It's like, okay, sir, what, like you said, what's happening?
Right. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, one, I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome. Very, you know what, welcome.
Saying? Two, very welcome. I just want to, you know, acknowledge the talent and the foresight, you know what I'm saying, to be able to put these types of things together for your clients. And you know, I'm new to it, so you know, I'm blown away. You know what I mean? I'm, you know, used to having to fight my way through life, through society. Ali Muhammad can't send my resume. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Right. Can't get on the plane. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, right. It's a whole right. lot. And you kind of right. at some point you be like, you take it as a badge of honor that everybody, you know, give you a hard time or reject your way.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when you see the flip side to it, it's like it don't even have to be that way.
It doesn't. And do you pay attention that sometimes that when you're dressed well, that you, people apologize to you? As if it's like, I'm, you know, you walk into a restaurant. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't. Excuse me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't. Did you have a reservation? Because I didn't see anything. Now you just walked into there. Now imagine walking in with a pair of sweats and you know,
nah.
and there's nothing wrong with. I don't want people to take this shit from left field. Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. Listen, whatever you feel most comfortable in. That's your God-given right. Do you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can only tell you about, right? Like, for example. Damn, that's going to sound real bougie.
Nah, go ahead, man.
It's going to sound real bougie. Right? All right. So you got a 1982 Toyota Tercel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Now, a person can tell you about the interior of a Bugatti.
Mm-hmm.
But until you sit in that bitch, then you understand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just two complete different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not saying you need a Bugatti to be important. You don't. You know, I don't shit. You know, you can catch the bus and it still be important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the point we're saying, the point I'm trying to make is that it's unfortunate that the world treats people that carry a certain, you know what? Let me stop.
Man, I don't know why you're holding yourself back.
Because last time I got murdered. So this time,
you didn't get murdered. No, you murdered me. No.
Out here, so this time, I'm trying to be as corporate as possible.
No, nigga, this ain't a corporate show, man. Listen,
I'm trying to be as clean as possible. I ain't trying to offend nobody.
We do a whole lot of that. You know what I'm saying? This is two black men on the porch. This is just uncle talk. This brown liquor talk. This is free and easy. This ain't corporate. This is far from it.
Okay, all right.
I don't even know what corporate is.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. I just don't want to offend nobody, you know, because...
Who offended, man?
Who offended? You know...
Man, talk your shit.
I mean, some, you know, guys follow me on my Instagram and complain at me because he says, man, all you do is dress up. Yeah, motherfucker, I sell suits. I'm trying not to offend anyone, I'm trying to find that right balance, you know?
Man, the internet ain't a real place, man.
Yeah.
So motherfucker, come on now, you sell suits, you a whole fucking tailor and fucking all this shit, and ask you why you wearing suits all the time. That's a motherfucker that's just out here just trying to say some shit.
You know what, I'm gonna say something, right? Now, you're going to give me about a minute and a half to say this, right? Uninterrupted, right?
You on the clock.
So, here's the thing, right? I'm just going to tell you some real, I can curse, right?
So, yeah, nigga.
I'm going to tell you some real shit, right? Okay. Here's the thing. The world is tribal.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has a tribe. The guys that, you know, people that went to HBCUs, mm-hmm, versus the people that went to Ivy League, right?
Mm-hmm.
People that went to, let's just talk from a sartorial standpoint,
mm-hmm,
right? And here's what I was telling one of my clients. Now, he closes multi-million dollar deals. I'm talking about nothing less than 100 million,
mm-hmm,
right? And he was trying to ascertain. He had a very important meeting, and he was saying to me that he wanted a suit made. And so I told him the price on the particular type of suit that he needed to wear to that appointment.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was a bit much. And it was. It was. But here's the thing. If you're going to close billions of dollar deal, why you end up with a cheap looking suit? So let's talk about tribal. Okay. Pretty much every well-to-do person that I deal with, right? My clients, right? Where you summer? That means where you stand the summer, their house. Mm-hmm. Where you winter? What clubs, associations are you a part of? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What boarding school your kids go to? What kind of watch you wear? Are you a Patek guy? Yeah. Most of their friends have Pateks.
Mm-hmm.
Most of their kids go to the same school. Most of them summer and winter together. Right? Most of them go to the same restaurants. They drink the same scotch. If they smoke weed, there's a particular strain of weed. That, like, maybe they like Skittles or maybe they like gumbo. It's all tribal. So I asked the gentleman. I said, listen. I said, now, the gentleman that you're meeting, he gets 100 deals a week on his desk. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, here's the thing. You may be okay with, you may think that you have that Brooks Brothers suit. Right? And you got it custom made. And you're like, hey, man, It's an historic brand. Yes, it is. And it's custom made. Yes, it is. But the gentleman that you're going to see, he's wearing Brioni. And that's handmade. So now, here's what you have to ask yourself. When you know the world is tribal, and especially if you have the money, if you walk into that meeting with that Brooks Brothers suit and he's wearing Brioni, the first thing on an unconscious level is he a friend of ours? Will he represent me? Listen, a guy that's doing billions of dollar deals, all the brightest minds in the world comes through the door. What you're looking for is something that you and him relate together. The greatest gift that anyone that could do when you go to a business meeting is for you to go into their office. You know why? Because you could see their kids. You know if they golf. You know what particular type of degree they got. From what school. If they golf, you could say, hey, you know what? I never golfed before, but I love that sport. Can you explain that a little bit about it to me? So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is that it's tribal.
Mm-hmm.
And breaking it down to the simplest form, when you dress well, you put yourself into a certain tier of looking like affluence and wealth, and people will treat you differently. Mm-hmm. Did that make any sense?
That made all the sense. Now, I want to ask you this. All right, this motherfucker, he chose his Brooks Brothers suits.
Absolutely.
This motherfucker, he had on his Brioni.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a motherfucker wearing Brioni, what do you supposed to wear, you know what I'm saying, to be in that tribe?
First of all, there's nothing wrong with wearing Brooks Brothers. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that.
No, I ain't saying there was nothing wrong, right? But what are you wearing to be like, oh, he's one of ours?
You're going to wear a very well-made, if he's wearing Brioni, he's probably wearing a Super 170 cloth. That's their house cloth. Super 170. That's about $6,800 to $7,200. Now, you don't have to pay that. If you find the right tailor, he can make it for half the price,
mm-hmm.
which will probably put you at the same price point as maybe a little bit more than a Brooks Brothers off the rack.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when he's sitting across the desk from you and he looks at your buttonhole and he looks at the certain sheen of your suit, he can look at the cloth. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to leave that up for not debate, but do you want to leave that up in the air?
Right.
For example, and I know all, if you guys are sneaker guys out there, because I know a lot of you guys are sneaker heads. If somebody's wearing a limited edition pair of sneaks, and you know only a few people got them, and you and him have them, I guarantee y'all have a conversation. Right. I guarantee you have a conversation.
Right.
You gonna give him the head nod. Right. You gonna give him a pound. You gonna be like, yo, dog, yo. Right?
Right.
It's the same thing. Now I'm saying, like, now, you do the best you can with what you have. But if you have the means, then there's no reason not to do it.
Right. All right. Shit. Now, you've went from, you know, kind of being in the shadows doing custom clients, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Your client, working your clientele in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And now I see you
doing the videos, huh?
Doing the videos, promoting
videos.
Your whole namesake brand. You know what I'm saying? Man, you're not finna drag me into this shit. My nigga.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I see you promoting your brand.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I see you got a line that you dropped for the summer. That you're promoting. Tell us about, you know, what the thought process was and where you're going with it.
Man, first of all, thanks for my wife putting a battery in my back.
Bird.
You know what, man? Real talk. The thought process was, I've been influenced to do what other people wanted me to do in my sartorial career.
What was that?
Chasing money, doing jeans and sneakers, you know, doing furs, doing leathers, doing blah, 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 blah. Right? And that's my fault. I hold, no one forced me to do that. That's mm-hmm. my accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole process from what I'm doing right now is fuck everybody. I'm doing me. I don't give a fuck if you like it, you don't like it. You can you know, you can share it, you can like it. You can leave a naked comment. Yeah, I specialize in blocking, by the way. I look forward to blocking people every day. You know what I mean? But I don't care anymore because I realize that the creator made me special and I wouldn't be who I am if I was doing what everybody else is doing or wanted me to do. That's what makes you special. Mm-hmm. So whoever you are out there, if you listen to this, do not listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you believe the creator has put you on this planet for. And so this whole collection for me was about being, I'm free. I'm fearless. Mm-hmm. If I want to rock scarves or neckerchiefs, if I want to wear a whole pink suit or pink and yellow and green, I've earned the right to do so.
Word.
And not just because I put the time in, but because I'm standing in my square now. And that's what it is. So the whole collection is all top Italian meals, whether it be Laura Piana, Cerruti, Ariston of Napoli, E. Thomas, you name it. All handmade. It's a ready to wear collection. I also do custom,
mm-hmm.
and it's all made to order, one at a time. So when you order something, there's nothing sitting in a showroom somewhere or sitting in a warehouse. It's actually made one at a time to ensure the highest quality of garment. So that's basically what the collection is about. It's just about me expressing myself at the highest level, and thank God. I've been featured now in two of the most important blogs in fashion, and that's coming out of Italy and one out of northern part of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, from what I'm being told, I'm trying to say this as humbly as possible, right? From what I'm being told is, especially by the top people in that tutorial space, is that I'm considered one of the best dressed men in the world, and I'm humbled by it.
I'm gonna let that sit there right there, sizzle in your spirit a little bit. You know what I'm saying? that's a humble brag.
That's what they're telling me, man.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're telling me.
That's what they're saying.
You know, all the people that I follow and that were my heroes. I wouldn't say hero, but people that I admire their skill. And I'm talking about some of the best in the world. I'm not talking about anybody that you guys know. I'm talking about some of the best Italians, some of the best British. They have inboxed me and said, I follow you now, Terry. You're influencing the culture. I'm humble, bro.
That's what's Greatly. Up. That's what's up. All right. On another note, what you watching out here?
Watching as far as what?
TV, movies, film, nothing. Documentaries,
nothing.
YouTube.
99.9% of the time I'm watching YouTube and I'm watching cooking shows.
All right.
I can tell you how to make a great brisket, how to make a great steak.
Okay.
I've been making a lot of French food.
Okay. What's French food?
Oh my gosh. I just made a great steak au poivre, which is amazing. It's a steak with a reduction of cognac, white wine with shallots, with a beef broth and a heavy cream that really is extraordinary. I made it for my wife. My wife was like, don't cook me any other kind of steak again other than that. And next time you're in New York City, I'm going to make it for you.
Nah, no doubt. Now, you watch that on YouTube?
Yes. When you came over, I was watching YouTube, right? That's all I did, watch YouTube.
That's what I'm saying. I saw you watching shit. I'm like, yo, watch shit. I don't watch shit. Yeah, I don't be watching nothing.
Just YouTube.
Word.
Yeah, I'm intellectually curious. So if there's something that I want to learn how to do, I'll watch a video on YouTube showing me how to do it. which is why I started, how I started editing my videos.
Ah.
YouTube.
No doubt, no doubt. So during the pandemic, you were doing a lot of cooking. Mm-hmm. You were doing a lot of mixing of cocktails and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Explain what you was going through during the time when we were all shut in. Like, a lot of people was chilling. You know what I mean? You made a lot of use of the time.
Man, you know what? To be quite honest, yes, I mean, all of us, to a certain extent, were a bit concerned about our health, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to be quite honest, that was probably some of the best year of my life, man. Real talk,
no
man.
Doubt.
I didn't have to deal with nobody. I didn't have to deal with my very highly demanding clients, because I deal with a lot of wealthy guys, right. So they're very high, very demanding. And I was able to just sit in my yard, in my backyard, have me a cigar, have scotch every day, and just think about what ifs. And so that's how I got into the liquor space that I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
I went to bartending school. I got my bartender license during the pandemic. And
before you go to, why bartending school?
Because I wanted to learn it from an expert standpoint, and mm-hmm. not saying that they're experts, because there's levels to everything,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to learn the real basics of bartending. So I went to bartending school and got my bartender license. And because I was watching a lot of YouTube videos and I was looking at a lot of people make cocktails. I was watching bartenders, famous bartenders,
mm-hmm.
and I was wondering how they did it. And so I was being curious and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this is something that I should educate myself. And I'm hoping within the next year, maybe I can go to culinary school.
Mm-hmm. So you got your bartender shit because you wanted to make these drinks right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And tell us about the drinks. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Talk about the drinks, man. Cause
okay, I had the greatest idea in the world. Okay. It was called A Connoisseur Cocktails. And if any of Cardi B's people are out there, I had the perfect cocktail. I had a grapefruit basil rosé cocktail. Extraordinary. Everyone that's had it, even Ali had it. He can attest to it. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the cocktail was called Good Pussy. She had just dropped, what was the song?
Oh, WAP.
WAP. It's game over. Game over. Ready to drink cocktail, glass bottle, beautiful. Everything's trademarked, everything done, everything signed off on. If I call my bottler tomorrow, I can have product within 2 days. All I needed was her to get down. Right now, we'd be sitting on the billion.
No doubt. And in the pandemic, you had to understand, everything was shut down but the restaurants and the liquor store. And the restaurants had got pretty much the license to mm-hmm. sell liquor to go.
Yeah, look at it go. Absolutely.
In New York City.
Yeah.
And so they were bottling up some of their favorite drinks that they used to serve at the bar, putting in bottles. But he was so early on it, he was already, you know what I'm saying?
I was 2 years ahead of that.
He was working on that bitch. He was working on that shit, yeah. and coming up with the concept. And, you know, my favorite part about the whole shit was that we was getting to test that shit all pandemic.
Right.
Hey, man, I got a new batch. All right, I'm on the way, nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Your wife liked the the lavender what was the one I did with lavender? Oh man.
You had so many. I mean, we
I probably made 50 to 75 different cocktails that you had.
You know what I'm saying? I was just trying to, actually you just
lavender lemon drop, that's what it was.
Lavender lemon drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a lot of good shit, man.
Yeah. That was insane.
And then, he'd be like, yeah, man, I'm over here in the backyard grilling up some motherfucking, I'm talking about, I got me a new smoker.
Right.
And I'm making these drinks.
Right.
Like, say no more, nigga.
I know. Man, I miss you this summer, man. I've only had used a smoker once this summer.
Oh, you tripping.
Yeah, only once. I only used the smoker once this summer, bro.
Yeah, you got to get back to it. Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Summer just started, so you know, you're only a couple weeks in. You get back there.
Yeah.
You know, you had the the green. What's that shit? The smoker.
No, the smoker is called it's a backwoods smoker. They use it for competitions. Pretty expensive smoker, especially.
You had a little green one.
Now I have the other one. That's a grill, right?
Okay.
So I forget what company that's for. Mm-hmm. That's just for grilling. Because a smoker is for smoking, grilling is for grilling.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I want to like reverse sear a steak, I'll do it on the small grill.
See how that nigga hit y'all with the reverse sear? We don't even know what a sear is.
Well, here's the thing. If you go to Ruth Chris or you go to Del Frisco's or blah, 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 for the most part, they're more than likely are doing a reverse sear.
And what's that?
So a reverse sear is basically... it's basically, for example, you want to take a steak inch and a half to inch and three quarters. You want to put kosher salt or sea salt, cracked black pepper. You want to pat it on both sides. And then what you want to do is you want to put a thermometer in it, put it in the oven at about 250 degrees for about 50 to 55 minutes. It will get an internal temperature. Now, that internal temperature is... how you like your meat. So say for example, most black folk, we like medium well, right? But let's talk medium, right? So medium is going to be you probably want to take out about 135 degrees. Your thermometer will go off. And the reason I say 135, cuz I know some smart ass out there is listening, once the steak comes out, it's going to rise for about 10 degrees. So it's going to finish at 145. That's medium now. So now you got the internal temperature right. Okay, now you take a hot iron skillet, and then you put a little of grapeseed oil or grapeseed oil or avocado oil, a high smoke point. You want to get that. You want to get your pan at about 450 to 500 degrees, and you want to sear it and char it on both sides. Then you throw in your half stick of butter with your rosemary and your thyme and your garlic, and then you want to go both sides about 2 minutes, just because you want to sear both sides, because the inside is already cooked to the temperature you want. You just want to put a crust on it, and that is called reverse sear. And I learned that from YouTube, folks. I probably saw at least 350 steak videos of how to reverse sear a steak.
And then he went in his backyard and practiced.
Right, absolutely.
And then he wanted to show off, so he called his neighbors, like, yo, nigga, I'm reverse searing a steak around this piece, come through, you know?
Oh, remember I made the smoked beef ribs for you and Ty? Right.
Yeah. We talked about that on the pod.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I was telling Damien about those beef ribs. That's crazy. Now, my cousin, he a connoisseur of cooking and shit. He sent me a picture one day, fucked me all the way up. Sent me a picture. I just saw a big-ass pan of beef ribs.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, nigga. Got them Wagyu beef ribs on your ass, nigga.
Wow. He's been like, a grip.
Yeah, he said.
Wait a minute. Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. He, America. Yeah. He got a grip. Yeah. Because Wagyu, listen... Wagyu, that's like that's not even a Bentley, y'all. That's Bugatti. That's Bugatti right about there.
But I've heard of Wagyu steaks and all that. I hasn't ever heard of the ribs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He sent me my pictures. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
I just left Cleveland last weekend.
Oh, that's what you should have hollered at me. You should have hollered at me. Oh,
man.
Yeah. And he was like, them shits was falling off the bones. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's not easy to cook a beef rib. You know, I grew up on a beef rib, you know? And a lot of times, you know, people call them brontosaurus ribs and
mm-hmm,
shit.
Mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? And a lot of times when you're doing right, you put them on a regular grill and you do them regular.
You can't do it.
It's tough.
No, you can't.
You fight with that meat.
No, you have to do an indirect smoke. So you want to put your charcoals to one side. You want to put a little bit of wood chips. Not actually, don't use wood chips. Use wood chunks. You can get it from don't use mesquite. Use something like hickory. Use pecan. Use apple. Use peach. And then what you want to do is you want to put your wood chunk on there. You want to put the charcoal to the side. You want to do an indirect. You want to get the temperature around probably about 225 to 250 degrees, and that's going to go for about 6 hours, about 6 to 8 hours. And that is how you do beef ribs. Anything other than that, they're going to be tough.
Yeah, them shit's going to be tough, boy. You be fighting with them.
Yeah, no.
He said that shit was falling off the bone.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Yeah, man. Wagyu, I wish I could have been there. Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
but he says,
I've never had Wagyu.
He said it's a site.
Never had Wagyu.
He says it's a site. You can order them bitches from California.
I know it's a site. I'm not paying that money. Okay, so here's the thing, right? So, Wagyu steak, just so you'll know the price point. Now, I know you know beef ribs. You imagine how heavy they are. Okay, all right. Now, if you go to any restaurant in any major city, the main ones, right? I ain't talking about Des Moines, Iowa, some shit, right? But, right? Shout out to Des Moines.
Des Moines might have that beef. They got cattle.
Shout out to Des Moines,
that's
right?
A cattle town.
Yeah,
they
right.
They had a steakhouse out there.
Right, right. So here's the thing, right? An 8 ounce Wagyu is going to cost you at minimum about $330. Dang. That's 8 ounce.
Dang.
Wagyu steak. Strip. $330, and that's without the sides. So already right there, you and wifey, or you and your lady, or you and your jump off, you and her. All right, let's say you don't do the bottle of wine. Let's say y'all just do ginger ales. Including tip, you already had a grand. Now, he had beef ribs. Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? I'm not paying that. I'm good with Prime.
That's not the restaurant price. Right. You're not getting the restaurant price.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know what I'm saying? Wagyu is very, very expensive.
Yeah. So,
as a matter of fact, Salt, you know Salt Bae, the guy that does this?
Uh-huh.
Salt Bae only does Wagyu. And in New York City, you're looking at about $350, about $350-$375 without sides.
Right.
For an 8 ounce steak.
Dang. Welcome.
8 ounces is half of a cup, everybody. Just so I'm sorry. A cup, what's a cup? 12 ounces? What's a cup?
You out here doing measurements.
No, a cup is ounces.
That ain't even, that's fluid ounces.
Yeah, you're right,
it's meat.
Yeah, it's meat, yeah. There you go.
But it's a small steak, is what he's saying.
Very small. Yeah.
Word. So you out here watching the YouTubes and
yeah,
shit.
I love YouTube, man. It's my favorite, man. Because everybody else is just lying.
What else?
Everybody lying.
Outside of cooking, what else you on there doing?
Man, just trying to think about how I can take over the world, man.
That's what you
want. I'm on my grind. My wife done put the battery in my back now, so now I think every day, all day long, about how I can be better, how I can design better, how I can offer better customer service. How I can, you know, it's funny. I had a very prominent pastor that was here today, and he was asking me about my business, and I said my core mission is to make your life easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about.
And then how you doing that?
Trying to understand what everybody is going through, what each individual customer is going through, and building a wardrobe sartorially that meets their lifestyle, so they don't have to say, I bought that very beautiful jacket, and I paid a lot of money for it, but I have nowhere to wear it. That's the worst kind of money you could spend.
But ain't no.
And
real,
you know, look at what I designed for you. You got the most use out of it because it worked for you.
Nah,
right?
I got the most use out of it because I did not give a fuck. I was like, I'm like, listen, man, I could come back from the office. It's Tuesday, Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'm bored. I gotta go eat anyway.
Right.
But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna fuck them up tonight. I'm just gonna throw on one of them bitches, put on my shit. It's already. I ain't got no real plans.
Right.
I'm just spontaneously saying, you know what? I'm finna go eat, and I'm gonna go eat like this.
Let me ask you a question, because you know I. All right. Let me ask you a question.
You already said that.
Do you feel different
then
when you wearing my suit than when you in a jeans and dress shirt or sweatsuit?
Nah, let me tell you what's different, man. See, this is what I do. I was thinking about this shit the other day. The voice that I hear in my head is the same voice. Sound, you know, like you would think that the older you get, the voice in your head get older. The voice in my head sound the same as it did when I was young, right? So I feel like I'm just going as me. What's changing is the world's response to me. And that's what I always pay attention to. Because when you're a kid, I grew up, you know what I'm saying? I got dropped off a lot of places, you know what I'm saying? Boom, mm-hmm. sent to, you know, you sent to your grandma's house, mm-hmm. sent to Cleveland, mm-hmm. sent to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And you have to find your way. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. like nobody helping you make friends, nobody right. helping you figure out. And then, you know, again, a lot of people on this pod know that I grew up with my pops. I didn't grow up with my moms. And so one of the first things that happens when you're in that kind of situation, you're out in the world on your own, you had to identify very quickly who's safe for you, who's good for you, who,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
So in that way, I've always paid attention to how the world was receiving me at any given point. And so I've had every kind of hairstyle growing up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Except for locks, mm-hmm. I never had them locked because mm-hmm. I ain't had the patience to let them lock. Mm-hmm. But I've always, you know, knew how to put myself together to get a certain kind of reaction, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it was never like, I want to get like a corporate reaction. I want to get like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be, you know, like, you know, perceived as like some businessman in the sense of the classic briefcase mm-hmm. carrying Brooks Brother businessman. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be perceived as a cool motherfucker that's interesting enough for you to, you know, want to understand and try to figure out, like, what's going on with this dude, whether you understood it or not. Mm-hmm. So there'll be people who understand it, mm-hmm. but then there'll be people who'll be like, man, who the fuck is this nigga? You know what I'm saying? Think he is. But all that comes with it, and you know it because you've been doing it. But there was a cap. You know what I'm saying? I had got to a place where it was a cap. It was mm-hmm. almost at the glass ceiling of what I'm trying to do, because the equation changes. When you're young, you could do certain shit certain ways. As you get older, your equation changes, because now you're not young and cool. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You're not as dangerous.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now you becoming, mm-hmm. you know, a grown motherfucker.
Right.
You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. So now your equation changes and the world's reaction to you changes. Now, you know what I'm saying? Police ain't studying your motherfucking ass as much.
Right. Funny story, right? I had to visit a client 2 days ago, and great guy too. Visit a client and in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was there for 2 nights. So I was there Friday and Saturday night, right? Mm-hmm. So Friday night, I don't do much, right? And then so Saturday night, someone called me that's from New York that lives in Charlotte now. And he's like, yo, T, did I catch you too late? I'm like, nah, man, everything's good. He's like, what you up to? I said, I'm going to go to a park bench and have a cigar. Mm-hmm. And he's like, bro, it's Saturday night. I'm like, yeah, I just want some scotch and a cigar, bro. That's what I do. Like, right. That's like, this ain't for the gram. Like, it's no. Right. Right. Like, as you get older, you just want to do what you want to do. And for my thing is, it's having Ollie in the backyard and I throw some on the grill and we have some drinks and we chill out. And like, I'm the happiest man in the world. I don't have to be, you know, in a club. I don't have to be around famous people. I don't have to be around rich people. I don't want none of that shit. I just want to just be with people who I love their company, and we have something in common, and we can, and, you know, enjoy ourselves. And yeah, so I'm sorry. Right. Go ahead.
No, but again, you know, your equation changes, and at that certain stage, you want the bottom line to that to be, like you said, that your life is a little easier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you also want to be, you want to be respected. You want people to, you know, you don't want to have to be arguing and bargaining your way
right.
every step of the way.
Right.
So
agreed.
You want to walk into the world and the world open up for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think with the intention of, all right, I'm coming out of this pandemic a better version of myself. I'm coming out of this pandemic to bust through this glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go in rooms mm-hmm. and I want to be, you know what I'm saying? I want to be able to accomplish the shit I want to accomplish. And I've never been a motherfucker that had to know everybody. I could walk in the room. I don't got to know everybody in the room. I don't got to shake hands with everybody that's important in the room. That ain't even important to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I always knew, just like I said, when you out in the world as a kid, a motherless kid down there, you just looking for the people that's right for you.
Right, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So as a grown motherfucker that's, you know, fully formed grown person, you walk into a space, all I care about is I know I'm gonna meet the right people for me. I ain't gotta know all right. these, I don't have to all know all these niggas at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're like an oak tree.
Yeah.
Never move.
Yeah, it's like
Roots is dug deep and he gets everything he wants at that one particular place that he's at.
Exactly.
All the seasons come and go, the weather's change.
Well, I ain't that solid yet. Nah, I ain't standing in one spot.
You that solid.
I still want to get around a little bit.
Same drip, different faucet, though.
But I will tell you this. I think I told this story on the pod, right? But this has everything to do with bringing it back to the beginning, what you put together for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Cleveland, All-Star game this year.
Yeah, you didn't tell me about it, but go ahead.
I didn't tell you about it?
No.
Ah, man, I'm going to tell you about it tonight. So I'm in Cleveland. You know, I got my suits. You know, I did certain things certain days, but I knew I was going to this big dinner with Clutch, with Rich mm-hmm. Paul.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they would, like, be there at 11, you know what I'm saying, da-da-da-da. So it's the night of the dunk contest and all that. And so I left the dunk contest early so I could, you know, go put on my suit because mm-hmm. I didn't want to wear my suit to the dunk contest.
Right.
So dipped out, hit the hotel, did my wardrobe change. And like I said, when you wear a suit, it's easy. Just
right.
It's like throwing on your sweatsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this dilemma because I had two pair of shoes, you know what I'm saying? I had a pair of Ferragamos that's more like loafer moccasin loafers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it.
And then before I went to Cleveland, I was like, you know, I need to go get another pair of shoes, a mm-hmm. more, you know, substantial pair of shoes.
Right.
And so I went to the store to get the shoes. You know, I scanned the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And I identified the ones. I was like, yo, those the ones right there. And so, you know, me, I ain't no rich nigga. So and I picked the bitches up, looked under the bottom to see mm-hmm. how much they was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $750. So I was like, ooh, all right.
Where?
At the Ferragamo store.
Okay, all right.
So I'm like, cool, all right. That's, you know, I was expecting somewhere around that. Boom. Mm-hmm. All right, boom. She's like, yeah, you want them? I'm like, yeah. Took one in the back.
Well, you have those shoes for the next 20 years, though.
I know. I mean, yeah. I got my first.
That's why it's cheaper to dress well than it is exactly. to wear sneakers.
I got my. That's why I wear that brand because I bought my first Ferragamos 20-something years ago.
Right.
And I still
absolutely.
Got
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So that's I already understand that concept. But then she came back with my receipt, gave me the shoes. I'm ready to go. You know, I look at the receipt. That bitch say $1,500. I'm like, ooh, wait,
$1,500?
Yeah, I was like, wait,
that's crazy.
No, I was like, wait, what's going on? Then she was like, that's what the shoe costs. She pulled it up in the computer for sure. That particular shoe costs $1,500. I was like, but the shoe say $750.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, they put the wrong tag on it.
Well, that's your problem. That's your problem, not right. mine.
But at this point, I got a plane to catch. I was like, you know what? So my plan, I was like this. I was like, you know what? I'm in a circle of rich motherfuckers all around me, and I'm like, shh. I'll get my, and then I ain't gonna get my refund right back no way. So it ain't. So I was like, I might as well do this shit when I get back. So I took the shoes, jumped on the plane, get to Cleveland. So here's the night. You know what I'm saying? It's cold as fuck. It's snowing. I know if I put these moccasins on, I'm going to look like I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
And you put these $1,500 shoes on, you can't take them back.
Hey, I put the $1,500 shoes on, I can't take them back. So it was, I sat down at the table like, damn. I was like, I looked at the box. I knew if I tried them on, it was going to be on.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it, let me just try these bitches on. So I tried them on. Woo-wee! Them motherfuckers was cold.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, I got, fuck it.
Right.
Fuck it, man. Fuck it. You know, I'm going to have these bitches for the next 20 years.
Right.
I said that to myself.
Right.
So I put them on, dip out, go to the thing, had on my navy suit, cashmere turtleneck, pocket square, my Ferragamos, and then I actually stole a page out of your book. Had my Gray Scully on, pushed to the back.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I seen you do that. I was like, I seen you do that with a suit. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, I did that. Put my Gray Scully on, dipped out. And when I got there, I walk into the joint. You know what I'm saying? Check my coat that you made for me.
Right.
My custom coat that really changed the game. That was the first one. And guy got in the elevator. And then two guys got in the elevator behind me. One's a notable guy that many people know. I ain't going to name check him. But a lot of people know him. And then it was a white guy with him that, you know, was probably some industry type. Mm-hmm. So the notable, he looked me up and down, he hit me from head to my feet. But then when he seen on my wrist that I had my wristbands from the game,
right,
from the dunk contest, mm-hmm. He was like, "You wore that to the dunk contest?" I was like, "Nah, I went and did a wardrobe change."
Right.
Then he was like, because he was baffled.
Right.
Like, how this nigga, what the fuck? Because he, you know, when he seen me, he automatically felt underdressed.
Right.
Because he was kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was just casual for the dunk contest. So, you know, he looked me head to toe. And then he was like, you know, you did a wardrobe change. Like, you ain't stay for the dunk contest? I was like, nah, I dipped out. He's like, oh, you must have got your heart broke for the dunk contest before. I was like, nah. Rich told me to be at 11 o'clock, man. It's 11 o'clock.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he was like, then the white boy that was with him was like, ah, man, you look good, man. I like those frames too. Woo, woo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you always have some fly frames.
So, but but when he you know, when he looked me head to toe, mm-hmm. and he seen the suits and he seen the buttonholes, I was like, yeah, I did the right shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
And then
we
opened up the elevators opened up. We stepped into that bitch, and he knew exactly what it was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I knew at that moment, because I've been around this person before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the type of person, you know what I'm saying? He don't see niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He ain't giving niggas. He's laser focused on the bag.
Right.
He don't see niggas.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I've been in close quarters with him, and the motherfucker didn't look my way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So in that elevator, it changed the whole game. I was like, I stepped out of that elevator knowing that, you know, the world was receiving me in a whole different manner.
Right.
Than previously on Ali Muhammad.
Day was a good day. Yeah.
Previously on Power.
Yeah, no, right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good thing.
So I just wanted to tell you that, man. Tell you that story, and I appreciate, you know, what you're doing for your gift. One, you know what I'm saying, is absolute. You know what I'm saying, to hear what your wife's saying, and you're actually executing it. That I appreciate that, and you know what I'm saying, that's very inspiring. But I also want to let you know I appreciate what you've done for my world and my vision. And
we're just getting started, baby.
Yeah, we got a whole new set to do for the fall, nigga. So y'all stay tuned. Started, you know what I'm saying?
We're just getting started.
But you know, I appreciate you coming through, man. Let people know where they can find you, and you know what I'm saying, what you got going.
You can find me on Instagram at Terry, T as in Tom. So Terry Corbett. Corbett is spelled C as in Charlie, O R B as in Boy, E T T. .co, so terrycorbett.co. And that's the name of my website as well, terrycorbett.co. And so I do inspirational, I try and do inspirational videos. I try and give people insight and show them there's different ways of dressing. So check me out. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it, bro.
Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even the enemy, to get in the conversation.
There you go.
We out.
Holla.